Today is Saturday, the 6th of July, 2024, and we are gathered here for the 139th session on mindfulness for beginners conducted in the English medium, represented by Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero from Nisaramane Forest Monastery. I would like to welcome Venerable Bhante with gratitude to today's program on behalf of all of us joining through the Zoom session as well as the live stream over Facebook. I would also like to welcome all of you who are joining through Zoom and the live stream on Facebook. Our program will commence with in-session practice by Bhante, and then we will move on to the talk on mindfulness based on last week's topic as chapter 2. And then we will move on to the question and answer session where we present reports from you for Venerable Bhante's advice. So to commence things, I would like to invite Bhante to initiate the in-session practice. Over to Bhante, much merits.
Thanks, Namantha. Hello, everyone. Today, to start the session, let's do a few minutes of mindful sitting practice. For this, you have to make sure that you are seated comfortably. Adjust your posture. Make sure that you are balanced and comfortable. Once you are comfortable in your posture, you can gently close your eyes. We don't try to do much, instead simply we are appreciating the present moment. You are seated in this moment and you are comfortable in your posture. Simply appreciate, embrace the present moment. Certain things might appear in your field of awareness, surrounding sounds, various bodily sensations, thoughts, memories. And after a while, they cease. Again, certain other things appear. After a while, they cease. We simply become the observer of this process. We simply witness this process. Let's try to continue a few more minutes witnessing the present moment. Okay, everyone, now you can open your eyes again. Okay, so let's have a little time for mindful sitting today. This is just to give you an idea, so you can practice on your own. With that, Namantha, you can take over.
Thank you very much, and many merits to Bhante. Next, we have the talk on mindfulness coming up, which is a continuation from last week's topic of on attachment. I would like to invite Venerable Bhante again for the talk today. Over to Bhante again.
Okay, everyone. So this is a continuation from last week. This topic is basically about the seriousness that we deal with life. When we face day-to-day challenges, when we deal with other people, sometimes we feel that we are too serious. We take things too seriously. That feeling you might get. And what happens when we take things too seriously? Stress appears, anxiety appears, and you start suffering in your mind. Right? That is natural. When you take things too seriously, this happens. Whenever other people don't do according to your wishes, you become angry. You become frustrated. Whenever things don't go according to your plans, you become angry, you become frustrated. So this is how we deal with life, and it's a never-ending cycle of anxiety and stress. Whatever little things, minor things happen in our surrounding, whatever the minor things the other people do, we suffer based on these things. Some people, they have this quality more than others. Some, they can take life less seriously and somehow navigate it. But most people, they take life too seriously, and due to that, they suffer in their minds. Again and again, they blame others. Again and again, they find fault in others. Again and again, they blame the environment or the surrounding. And there's that story. Whenever it is a rainy day, you find fault in rain. You complain, you blame. It's a rainy day. We can't do our things. This rain is never ending. That way you find fault in rain. So you suffer on rainy days. Whenever it is sunny, you find fault in that. You tell it's too hot. The sun is too hot. We can't do things. We can't work. That way you complain. That way you blame. And on a sunny day as well, you suffer. So this is how we function. This is how we work. Whether it's rainy, we suffer. Whether it's sunny, we suffer. Somehow or the other, we find fault in things. Right? So this way, we can deal with life. Of course, we have been dealing with life for a long time. But what was the result? Maybe you had anxiety. Maybe you got into a depression once in a while. Maybe you had troubles with, you know, dealing with other people, situations. So this was the result. This was the result. So in a way, it is important that we take things less seriously. It is important that we know how to deal with life with less seriousness. Imagine this, tomorrow is not guaranteed to you. Tomorrow you might not live, right? So today you think that you are the most important person. Today you think that without you, the world won't function. Without you, the workplace will be stuck. Without you, the family members friends and family, they will be stuck. That way you think you are playing a crucial role. You think you are playing an important role, right? So that way you work. But imagine tomorrow might not come. Tonight would be your last night. Tomorrow you are a dead body, right? Most of the world, majority of the world, will move forward as usual. They wouldn't even notice that you are not there. They wouldn't care that you are not there. Things will move forward as usual. People will go to work. Buses will run. Birds will chirp. This way, things will continue as usual. Only few people will miss you. Maybe close friends, family. They'll miss you for a few days, few weeks. But soon, they too will move forward. That's the reality. That's the truth. But while we are living, we think that we are the most important person. We think that without us, the family members won't survive. We think that without our crucial contribution, the workplace won't survive. This way we think, this way we plan, but in reality, that's not the case. Most of us, we disappear tomorrow, the world will run as usual. Few people will miss us for a few days, few weeks. Soon they'll be doing their usual things and moving on. Right? So this is the reality. Although you think otherwise, that's not true. You are not a crucial part. You are just a sand particle on a giant sand bed. A river bed, a sandy bed. You are just a single particle. You think that you are everything, but that's not true. So this type of a thinking, it might help us to take things less seriously. Live today like it's your last day. There's this very nice quote. It's from one of the movies that Dead Poets Society. Robin Williams was there, an old movie. And there they say, carpe diem, seize the day, seize the day. That's the idea, carpe diem, seize the day. Today would be, could be your last day. So try to live it fully. Try to seize the day. Tomorrow, if it comes, then tomorrow you can deal with it. Right? So that type of attitude is important. Dealing with life less seriously, trying to navigate life less seriously. So that's the idea in this topic, this week's topic. This is a quote from Alan Watts. He says, "Man suffers only because he takes seriously what the gods made for fun." This is more like a game. This is more like for fun. This life of ours. If we take it seriously, then of course we start to suffer. If we take it as a game, if we take it as fun, then it might not be so difficult. There you won't feel so much friction. But by taking things seriously, you put a snake in the grass and you ruin paradise. That happens. You analyze everything. You put your logical thinking to everything. You start planning everything. The poisonous apple of knowledge. Right? By doing this, you put a snake in the grass and you ruin paradise. But if you take it as a game, if you take it as a less serious thing, then we too can really enjoy our life. That's important. For example, when you watch news, majority of the things that you are fed, are not relevant to you. Go on Facebook, social media. Majority of the things that are fed to you are not relevant to you. Whenever you see these wars in the world, whenever you see people dying, anxiety arose. Your brain is continuously in an anxious state, seeing all these news, seeing all these murders, seeing all these wars. Again and again, you are fed with this information. Again and again, you continue with anxious mode, with anxious mind. It is not helping. It is not helping. Most of these things are not relevant to you. Maybe weather forecast might be a bit relevant. Tomorrow is a rainy day. You might have to go out with an umbrella. That might be relevant. But most of the news, that's far away. Most of the news are negatively biased. Most of the news will put you in anxiety. Right? So, it's important that we know what to do with these things. It's important that we know how to properly use our attention. Otherwise, we are always anxious, worrying about future. And in the process, we forget to seize the day. In the process, we start planning the future, planning tomorrow. This happens and we become anxious about yesterday. So this way, we ruin this game. It's more like a game. It's more like for fun. But we take it too seriously and as a result, we suffer. Right? So when it comes to this practice, what we are trying to do is take things less seriously. And that's the very idea. Now, for a beginner, it's really difficult. They struggle a lot. They say they can't be mindful because of these thoughts. They can't walk. They can't breathe. That way they complain. That is natural for a beginner. But what we say is that, okay, that's fine. You just start somewhere. Just continue few minutes. Few minutes of walking. Few minutes of sitting. That way you try to continue the practice. And gradually, you will develop the ability to take things less seriously and the ability to witness them without interfering. That ability will come, not in the beginning, not initially, but gradually repetitive training will allow you to have that ability. You walk without trying to control the walking. Initially, for a beginner, it's difficult. They try to control the walking. They say, I am involved in walking. Walking is voluntary, they say. They say, my body is walking, I am walking. That's how they start. That's how they start. But gradually they develop the ability to walk without trying to control the process. Initially, most beginners, they can't breathe, observe the breath. What happens is that their breath becomes forceful and some people, they struggle to breathe. Some people, they get headaches, chest pains. Why? Because they try to control the breathing. You have been breathing fine all these years, but as soon as you start mindfulness, as soon as you start practicing, you try to control the breath. And as a result, anxiety appears. When you try to control the breath, you become anxious. When you try to control the walking, you become anxious. Right? The same idea. When you take things too seriously, you become anxious. You become anxious. So that's what happens to you. That's what happens to you. Initially in the walking, initially in the sitting, it's really difficult to be the third-party observer. You want to interfere in the process. But gradually, with repetitive training, you develop the ability to observe the walking without interfering, observe the sitting or the breath without interfering. That ability will come. So what happens? You learn or you develop the ability to take things less seriously. You allow the body to walk and just observe. You allow the breath to happen and just observe. That ability gradually, step by step, breath by breath, you are developing. So that's what this repetitive training is. Mindfulness, we simply try to observe without, you know, taking things too seriously. If you take things too seriously, even the practice, it becomes anxious. That's why most people, when they start meditating, due to the meditation, they are anxious. Earlier also they have been anxious, now there's this additional anxiety because of the meditation. They say, I want to function mindfully 24/7. And when I try to do that, I become anxious. You can't do that. You can't do that. You can't be mindful 24/7. Instead, at least once in a while, be mindful. Catch few steps every now and then. Catch few breaths every now and then. That way you have to gradually take the approach. Otherwise, practice becomes a burden. Practice becomes a burden, and the practice is supposed to take your anxiety away, but you create additional anxiety due to the practice. So you understand, gradually we develop the ability to observe things, to watch things without interfering much, without, you know, taking them too seriously. That's important. That's the ability we develop. So in a way, initially you might not have this ability. Initially you take everything too seriously. But gradually, when you practice daily, when you do your repetitive practice, when you develop that vital skill in you, gradually you realize even day-to-day matters, even family matters, I start to take them less seriously. Now that part is not intentional. That's the thing. Most people, when they hear this type of idea, they think, okay, I'll make a determination. Starting from today, I'll take them less seriously. They'll make that determination. But what happens? After a few minutes, something happens. And without them even knowing, without them even realizing, they become anxious. They take things so seriously as usual. That habitual pattern continues. So if you want to take things less seriously, although Alan Watts, he says this idea, it's not easy to activate it, or it's not easy to put it into use. Not easy. So what we suggest is you can achieve this through the practice. You can develop this ability gradually. That's the idea we are saying. That's the idea we are saying. Otherwise, we think that just by determination, just by wishing, we can do. No, not possible. Instead, gradually you have to develop it. When you develop your practice, as a result of that, the day-to-day matters will be taken less seriously. The usual problems that makes you so anxious will be taken less seriously. That's the idea. So what you have to do is you have to keep on practicing. Make sure at least daily, like 30-40 minutes of mindful sitting, 30-40 minutes of mindful walking. That way you have to approach. That way you have to approach. And even in day-to-day life, you can be mindful, bring your attention to the body, and notice the body every now and then. Just sustain that practice for a few months. then only you will start to see the real impact. While practicing, it is important to, you know, get the proper advice. If you just practice without advice, most people can't make it. Then maybe you are striving to become a Buddha. Right? Difficult. Difficult. But what's advised is that listen to the teacher, listen to the Buddha's teaching, listen to the practitioners, and according to their instructions, get guidance and keep on practicing. And when you continue for a few months, you realize now you can survive on your own. But initial period is crucial. Initial period is very important. That proper guidance, if you have faith in wrong guidance, wrong instructions, then you are doomed. I'm sorry to say, but what can we do? Some people, they have certain ideas. Even at Buddha's time, there were people, there were monks who put faith in Devadatta while the Buddha was alive, while Buddha was living, right? So that happens. So if you put faith in a wrong teaching, in a wrong teacher, then of course you are doomed. But some people, they maybe due to their earnings from eternity, they know which teaching to pick, they know what to do, and by practicing, they establish their trust in the teaching. Because when they practice, they see the results, they see the practice is working. And even without teacher's advice, they come with their own suggestion. Now, I think a few weeks back, there was somebody who was sharing the experience and saying that earlier I used to observe the breath very closely. Earlier, I used to observe the steps very closely. There was a period, there was a phase that I could observe the breath. I could observe the steps very closely. But now I feel like that my mind is not interested in observing the breath. My mind is not interested in observing the steps. Of course, if I pay attention, the breath is there. Of course, if I pay attention, the steps are there. But I feel like my mind is not interested anymore. It is in the middle. It is in the process without specifically observing the breath, without specifically observing the steps. It is in the whole process. It's not interested in the breath anymore. It's not interested in the walking steps anymore. So I figured that this is the proper way. If I intentionally, if I forcefully observe the breath, then it is an anxiety. It creates this stress or the anxious nature in my mind. If I forcefully put my attention towards the steps, then it creates this anxious nature in my mind. So I figured that why take this anxiety? I simply continue with the process. So this person, after practicing, they are reporting. So the teacher has no job, right? Because they have figured out on their own that this is the way, this is proper, right? It used to observe the breath in the beginning, but when the practice matures, the mind lets go of the breath as well. You have to let go of the breath as well. That happens. There's a certain milestone after that. The breath, you don't have to hold on to it. You have to let go of the sensations at your steps. That too is temporary. That too is changing. Right? So that realization this person had on their own. And reporting, right? So the teacher just has to appreciate the skill in this person. Maybe they have acquired good merits from eternity. Maybe they have practiced from eternity. They know what to do. They know the correct thing. And if somebody comes and tell them, no, no, this is not the way, force your attention on the breath, force your attention on the steps. If somebody comes and tell them, still they won't believe. They know that this person doesn't know what he's talking about. Right? So that type of proper advice is important. That way only you can mature in the practice. And when you mature, after a few weeks, after a few months, you realize as mindful walking or as mindful sitting or as day-to-day mindfulness, you don't have to do much. It is not no longer stressful. It is no longer anxious. Instead, simply blissfulness appears in the walking. Simply you walk and you are absorbed in the walking process. Simply you sit and you are absorbed in the sitting process. Even the day-to-day activities, simply you do and you are absorbed in that process. That very experience you can have, and the practice becomes your refuge. Practice becomes your safe house. Practice becomes so comfortable, pleasing, right? So that's the very idea. That's the very method. Now everything is happening. You are simply observing what's happening. It's like you are seated on a river bank and you are simply observing the flow. You are observing the stream. You are observing the river. You don't have to interfere with it. Various things come. And after a while, they disappear. Again, other things come. After a while, they disappear. That process, you are able to observe. When you interfere, you disrupt the flow. You introduce turbulence to the flow. You refrain from interfering, and the flow is very natural. Flow is very comfortably going, and you don't have to do much. Right? So that type of a practice is important. Gradually, you develop this ability. Gradually, you develop this ability and you realize once in a while, certain things stand out. They stand out, right? Once in a while, they again dissolve into that flow. Sometimes, let's say thoughts, memories, these type of things. They stand out from the flow. They tell their own story for a while. But when that phase is done, they automatically dissolve into the flow again. After a while, something else will stand out. They have their own story to tell. But if you wait patiently, soon, again, the things will dissolve into the flow. Certain things, they stand out from the flow. And after a while, again, they dissolve into the flow. Usually, the things that are standing out, these things grab our attention. These things become our world. It's not the flow. It's not the flow. Instead, the things that are standing out, that becomes our world. Let it be thoughts, let it be sounds, let it be sights, whatever it is, only the things that stand out, those things create our world. These are the little things that we take seriously. Majority of things, it's not our concern. It's just the flow. But depending on each person's character, we notice certain things. Certain things stand out to us. And they create our own unique world. So this process happens. Repetitively, this process happens. So whatever stands out from the flow, you take them seriously. Let it be thoughts, their own unique thoughts, they are identical to you. Let it be memories, your childhood memories. Let it be future planning, the goals that you are trying to achieve in the future. So this way, whatever the things that are standing out from the flow, they create our world. And initially, we gave so much value to these things that are standing out. Whenever a thought stands out, it's really hard to let it go. It stays for a long period. Whenever some incident stands out from the flow, that incident will go replay repetitively in our mind. Again and again, the same very incident is replayed in our mind. So for a beginner or initially, we feel that whatever the things that are standing out from this flow, we take them so seriously. But gradually, when your practice develops, you realize now they are lasting a shorter time. Still the things stand out from the flow, but these things, they don't last very long. Right? That change you will notice. Earlier these things, they lasted for a long time, but now again they dissolve into the flow within few seconds, few minutes. This change will happen in your practice. But what's happening is that your seriousness is reducing. Your seriousness is reducing. Whatever the things that are standing out, you know that it's just a wave in the vast ocean. It's just a wave. The wave thinks that it has a separate existence from the ocean. That's the foolishness of this wave. But after a while, the wave dissolves into the ocean. And wave becomes the whole ocean. Again, another wave appears. So whenever a wave is standing out from the ocean, it creates some kind of existence that is separate from the ocean. But soon, again, this existence will dissolve into the ocean. This happens repetitively. And when you practice repetitively, you realize whatever the objects in my mind that are standing out, they are like waves, they are like ripples in the mind, in the ocean of mind. These waves, they think that they have a separate existence. But soon they dissolve into the very same ocean that they came out of. Right? That process is experienced repetitively. And even us, we think that we came into this world. That's how we say it. But actually, we came out of this world like a wave that comes out of the vast ocean. The wave, due to its foolishness, thinks that it has a separate existence. But soon, it will dissolve into the very same vast ocean right? So that's the very idea. So even us, our bodies, these things will cease one day. And when they cease, we feel like it is the end of the world. We struggle, we fight, we try to postpone. We go look for doctors. But when you know the true nature, the practitioner who knows the true nature, they don't bother that much. They know that this is the reality. Whatever that came out of will dissolve into the very vast ocean. That acceptance is important. In our mind, if we have that acceptance, then whatever the troubles, whatever the problems that we face, they won't be so serious. Whenever you face a problem, whenever somebody doesn't listen to you, that's more like, you know, part of you is dying. Right? Whenever there's a problem, the struggle is, there's a part of you that's dying. Whenever somebody doesn't listen to you, there's a part of you that's dying. And for this very little part, for this tiny part, you suffer a lot. What happens when the entire thing dies? How much suffering would it create? And that's the question that you have to ask. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. We don't know when the tomorrow will come. Whether the tomorrow will come, we don't know that. We are not guaranteed. So it's better that we work on our practice. We learn the art of living by taking things as a game, taking things as fun. And if you face the life that way, if you develop that ability in your mind, then this world, this life wouldn't be so difficult. You'll be able to live it while enjoying it as a game. You'll be able to live it like a fun trip that you are going on. All right. So that type of idea is important. That's the very idea. That's why Alan Watts says, man suffers only because he takes seriously what the gods made for fun. So try to improve your practice, try to work on your practice, understand the reality, the nature of things, and that will allow you to let go of this seriousness, and that will allow you to face this life like a game. That's the idea. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Bhante, and much better to you. Next, we will have the question and answer session coming up, and I would like to invite Nadeep to conduct the session. I will share the screen for the guide to beginners. Please go through it, Nadeep.
Thanks, Namante. Much merits. So as you see on the screen, for the beginners, with the assistance of Nisaranamaneya Venerable Monks, two video clips have been developed, one for mindfulness walking and another for mindfulness sitting. So all the instruction for beginners are included in these two videos. So please go through those two videos and grasp the basics, how to do mindful walking, how to practice mindful sitting. Once you grasp those ideas, the basic instructions and all the fundamentals, most important thing is to start your actual practice. So start with bare minimum. Say, for example, 5 minutes per day for mindful walking, and then another 5 minutes for mindful sitting. And then continue your practice for about a week until you complete 2 hours of complete practice. Once you reach to that point, write your experience and send it to us to share with the others. And also we're going to present that to the Venerable Bhante. So how do you write those reports? clearly mentions the primary object of your mindful walking and also mindful sitting. And then of what happened to that primary object, how long you were able to stay with the primary object and what happened thereafter, and how would you bring your attention back to you, the primary objects. Include those information, and also how would you practice mindfulness during your daily activities while you walk, at your work and your daily course, and also some instances when you're dealing with the other people. Include those information in your report and send it to us via either Google form or through the email address just mentioned here. And also continue your practice as Bhante mentioned during the discussion as well. So it is a gradual improvement. So it needs to be sustained for a while to see the actual results. So most important thing is the continuation of practice and then share with all your experience with us. That helps for the other people and also for your improvement in your practice as well. That is the instruction for the beginners. And I am going to present the reports. Namante, is that right? We have only one report today.
Yes.
Camera. Yeah. Okay. Avsarai Bhante, we have one report today. Let me present that report to you. Avsarai Bhante, I would like to present my reflection report on mindful walking. I began walking by focusing all my attention on my sole. I could feel the floor with my sole when each foot touched the floor. I could feel the time between one foot rising from the floor and the next moment when I placed firmly on the ground. Focus was maintained cyclically between sole of my foot and the movement of the sole through air when I moved from one foot to the other. I felt very relaxed compared to the stress that I always felt during normal day-to-day activity. I also felt that I have thoughts flowing through my mind, but I could still maintain enough attention on my soul. I also saw that my attention to how I turn at each corner of the walking track was sharper and more concentrated than during when I walked straight. I could feel the body movement and turning very well. Sometimes my focus went into my thoughts without my knowing, and I realized this when my focus shifted back to the sensation from my soul or to the movement of my body. The speed and the walking were maintained automatically by the walk itself and allow this to continue without trying to make any changes myself. This is the report on my mindful walk in Bhante. Much appreciate any advice Bhante can provide to me. Much merits to all. That's the end of the report, Bhante.
Nadeep, can you repeat that part where the person was explaining that focus was shifted to something else? Only those few sentences. It was in the middle.
Yeah. Sometimes my focus went into my thoughts without my knowing, and I realized this when my focus shifted back to the sensation from my soul or to the movement of my body.
Okay, right. So that part, you realize that the focus is shifting to thoughts, and without you even knowing, it returns back to the body, and then only you realize that this happened. Right? That's the comment, if I understood it correctly. Only after returning, you realize that my attention went to thoughts, and again came back to my body. So the naturally that cycle was completed, right? So that confidence is important. That's what I am going getting at. Now it happened automatically and you were not shaken. It went to thoughts and automatically it returned to the body, right? So that ability is developing in you. This is only one occasion or one insight into your walking. There may be other occasions where the thoughts, the attention, the focus move into the thoughts. And while being in the thoughts, you realize that you are in thoughts, right? It's another experience that you'll have in the walking. In those occasions also, you can get some insight from this experience and just wait and see what happens. You don't have to force your attention back to the walking so suddenly. Instead, know that you are in thoughts, see whether it will return automatically, like you experienced in this report, right? So in a way, what you have to do is you are developing the confidence in the practice and, you know, patiently waiting to see whether it will correct its course automatically. That confidence is important. Initially, you feel like it is not correcting automatically, but gradually the confidence will grow. You have to patiently wait. Now, in this occasion, it corrected automatically. So you are fine. But I am referring to another stage where you will realize that you are in thoughts while in thoughts. In that occasion, don't try to suddenly force your attention back to the walking. Instead, let it be for a while. Patiently observe whether it is correcting itself. If it is correcting itself, then let it do that. Right? You don't have to interfere. There's this metaphor given for this. If the horse is behaving, you don't have to, you know, shout at the horse, or you don't have to hit it. Because the creature is behaving itself. Of course, if the horse is not behaving, you have to hit it. That's fine. But if you are hitting a horse that's behaving, then you are a fool. The horse is behaving. You anyway hit it. That's not good, right? So in this practice also, we try to control a lot. Initially, we interfere a lot. But when your experience, when your practice has grown into such a level, we advise now refrain from doing much and let it correct itself. And when that ability, when that confidence is developed, your practice will hit a totally different level. And whatever the comfort that you are experiencing in the current practice will multiply. It will multiply because no tension, no stress. You don't have to maintain the practice. It is maintained by itself. That's our ultimate goal. Right? Otherwise, you always have to maintain. We need a practice without maintenance. But it takes so many hours of practice in order to reach that level. So this is a very nice milestone. You are about to move towards that area. So have faith, have confidence in the practice and let it continue. Let the practice maintain itself. You just have to patiently wait, have confidence in you. And when you see that, you become much more comfortable in your sitting and walking. Whatever the stress-free level that you are experiencing in the current practice, it will multiply. Now, in your report, you mentioned that you experience a stress-free mind in the practice. Compared to your usual day-to-day struggles, this is stress-free, right? So it is very much related to our topic as well. We take life too seriously and we are always anxious. We are always stressed. That's what we are referring to. Gradually, with the help of the practice, at least in the walking, at least in the sitting, we learn the art of, you know, letting go of this anxiety, letting go of this stress. And that you can experience. That's what you are experiencing. Even in your day-to-day life, you can try this. Do the walking, do the sitting, and even day-to-day life, try to, you know, be mindful and try to see whether you can maintain this stress, low stress status of your mind. That approach is important, and gradually you realize your peace or the stress-free experience will multiply.
Thank you very much, Bhante, for the excellent explanation and the feedback. That's the all reports we have received today. Namita, are we going to open the session for verbal questions? Yeah. So this is an opportunity for all attendees to raise any question if you have. And please raise your Zoom hand and we will unmute you to speak.
Thank you, Nadi. My question, Bhante, is in relation to the very interesting, I guess, the simile that you mentioned in your talk today about the waves and the ocean. So I think you can, I guess there's different ways of looking at it, but I was taking the wave to be sort of, say, my lifetime, as opposed to the ocean, which is, you know, this sort of cycle of life and death, and becoming part of the ocean at death. So you mentioned that the problem of life is that we take ourselves too seriously, and focus too much on being the wave, as opposed to sort of the wider ocean. My question is, in relation to, how normally in society, most of us, you know, who are pursuing livelihoods, our success at life, even the spiritual life, because for the spiritual life, you have to have resources, particularly if you're managing a family and yourself and whatnot. Our success in life generally tends to be how well we define ourselves in terms of the wave. So one can be a lawyer, one can be a teacher, one can be a monk, such as yourself, one can be an IT person, one can be a salesman. Generally, in life, we tend to, the society expects us to define ourselves, and become an expert at being a certain wave. And then, you know, if you have the expertise and the knowledge, and you're well defined as that wave, then, you know, you marshal the resources, to be successful in life. And then, I guess at the end of life, you retire and then you become part of the ocean again. So my question is, as much as we are, from the ocean and we return to the ocean, life at the moment for most of us is defined by success as the wave, and it's the differentiation rather than the unison. So, and that's the struggle. Because at the end of it, yes, we have to leave everything behind and become part of the ocean. But within the life, our success is based on how well we define ourselves as a particular wave. Bhante, can you, if you have any comments about that? Because I feel that there is a struggle between that, about how well we open ourselves to being part of the ocean. At the same time, how do we be successful as a wave?
Right. So one thing is that according to Buddhism, well, the Buddha's teachings, you are not returning back to the ocean at your death. Again, you find a new waveform, and this struggle continues for eons on end, right? So that's the thing. So it's okay to be a wave, but without being too attached into that waveform, knowing that you are just simply a part of the vast, never-ending ocean. That very idea is important. Now, you are referring to your day-to-day responsibilities, professions, things like that. Now, you can still do them without that much of that level of anxiety, that level of, you know, attachment into that waveform. That's the very idea of the practice. Otherwise, we have to give up everything and, you know, try to drift this all into the ocean. That's not the way. Instead, what we are suggesting is that with the practice, you can still be the wave, but you have a bigger picture. You know the bigger picture. You know that you are simply, you have experienced it. You have experienced it. You have experienced that you are simply a tiny part of this vast ocean. That very experience will transform you. Otherwise, the wave thinks that it's the entire universe. The wave is everything. That type of attitude we have in our minds. That's why we create so much struggle, so much anxiety, so much stress dealing with this life. What we are saying is you can still be a wave, but have that experience or the understanding in you, which will transform the way you deal with this world. That transformation is important. That will create less and less stress levels, anxious states. It will reduce. And that's the idea. That's the idea. Usually, we can think about these things. We can talk about these things. But still, as I mentioned earlier, talking and thinking helps a little. But what makes the real impact is practice. Simply do a walking session, sitting session daily, and try to sustain that for a few months, few years. Then only you realize, due to this practice, you are transforming. You are changing the way the way that you deal with this world. You have a much bigger, you see a much bigger picture. Your mind is not, you know, attached or to these waveforms too much, right? So that very change will happen. And when that happens, you realize you can still be the wave. You can appreciate its colors, its shapes, but still knowing that you are a tiny part of the vast ocean. Right, so don't get the idea that we can't function in this world. We can't be a lawyer. We can't we can't maintain a family. That's not the idea. Instead, whatever you do, try to do it with lesser levels of stress and anxiety, and that'll really allow you to seize the day. Otherwise, we are always planning. Achan Brang. He says that some people, while having the meals, they are planning the next bite. While having a bite, they are planning the next bite. There are other people who will plan 3-4 bites away, forward, you know. While having a bite, they are planning like 3-4 bites ahead, right? So you are missing the life. While having a bite, you are planning the next one. Some people, they are so good at planning. They plan like 3-4 bites ahead, right? While missing the one that you're having. That happens. That happens to us. That's how we forget to seize the day, right? So when you simply start noticing the single bite that you're having at the moment, that's living. That's how you can seize the day. And that'll enjoy, that will allow you to enjoy the meal more and more, not the planning. not the forecasting. That's not how it works. So that's the idea. Whatever you do, you can still do them while being at less stress levels and, you know, enjoying or seizing the demo.
Thank you, Bhante. Very illuminating.
We have a couple of more minutes. If anyone has any questions, please make use of this opportunity. All right, Bhante, I have a small question in regards to the maintaining that stress. While we practicing, we experience those, you know, dissatisfaction, impermanence, and all those part through the actual experiences. And then what happened is we trying to see everything through that lens, even the our either at work or during the other task as well. But maintaining some stress level actually helpful to achieve those tasks. For example, at work, we can't say, okay, this is impermanence. I'm really dissatisfied with, you know, demanding nature of the work. We can't leave those aside, but we have to maintain some level of stress to achieve those, you know, the tasks, not just at work, even at some, you know, during the daily life. How would we strike a balance in between the practice and then that impermanence or dissatisfaction nature of those, you know, tasks?
Now, in this new age, there's this idea, you know, you have to have, you know, stress. You have to move forward. That's why they listen to those motivational talks. They will always say, you know, be like a lion, go get them, achieve your goals, work as many hours as you needed, right? Those motivational speeches, they give that idea. In a way, the school, our parents, the society, they teach us to maintain stress. Right? They tell us that it's the norm. They tell us that you have to study. When you get good grades, you'll be happy. You have to do your A levels, and when you go into university, you'll be happy. You have to complete the university or the degree. When you go into a job, you'll be happy. When you get married, you'll be happy. But it's a never-ending cycle. Always like a carrot in front of the donkey, right? He moves forward, but still never reaching that, right? So in this new age, they are telling us repetitively that it's good to, you know, have stress in life. Go get them. That's the motto, right? So that way they tell. But those type of stress levels, what's the use of it? What's the purpose it has done? If you think about it, maybe the depression, maybe the suicides, those are the results those type of stress levels has given. You can't work this machine, this body and mind like that. Not possible. Not possible. Right? You'll go into depression. You'll become sick either physically or mentally. That will happen. Right? So you have to find a proper balance. As you mentioned, it's important to find a proper balance. That balancing act is not easy. That's the issue. Right? It is always evolving. You think today you have the balance after practicing so many years. But still, when you continue for a few more years, you realize earlier my balance wasn't so refined, right? So it's always that balancing act. It is evolving. It is evolving. Initially, for a beginner, we say you don't have to believe in that type of a stress. It's not the way of living. You can experience much lower levels of stress. And there's this idea of, you know, healthy stress. In order to do something, you have to have a healthy level of stress. They call it eustress, right? A certain level of stress you have to have in order to do that. Right. So that type of a stress, I think, should be okay, but not the stress levels the world is recommending us. Right. They have gone into, you know, chaos in this world. So many suicides. That's the number one threat, you know, not the accidents, not the animals, not the mosquitoes, not the internal diseases. You are healthy, but you kill yourself, right? Every 80 seconds, two people die. Suicides, right? So that type of a world we have seen. That's what we have achieved. If it is not suicide, then number one disability in this world is mental issues, depression. All those things, right? So that's what we have achieved with those motivational quotes, motivational talks, you know, going and getting them, right? That's not how it works. But instead, you have to find the proper balance. That balancing act is important. It is evolving. More you practice, better you realize the proper balance. It takes so many years and months, but all the time that you practice, keep on practicing, you are becoming better and better. And for a practitioner, let's say if they are full-time practitioners, they struggle with, you know, having no stress. That healthy stress is not there, so they are not even motivated to practice. The full-time practitioners, I'm saying, you know, dedicated ones. So that's another struggle. Usually a worldly person, a beginner, they struggle with too much stress. But the practitioners, when they are doing it for years on end, then they realize they struggle with less energy, less motivation to do things, right? That's also not healthy in long term. So that's why it's important to find the proper balance, as you mentioned. That you stress type of a stress, if you can find, then that's good. Even for today's program, let's say, I am totally stress-free, then I won't come prepared, right? That happens sometimes. So you have to come prepared. That a certain preparation should be there to talk about the topic. If I'm too stressed, then I'll over-prepare and will kill it in the process, right? So that proper balance is important. But the levels the world is experiencing, that's too much. Definitely too much. You don't have to function like that. You don't have to experience so high stress levels in this world. That's not the human life that's given to us. Right? This is more like, you know, heavenly existence, even the humans. So you have to feel it in your heart. It feels like you are living in hell. Right? Humans included, it's a heavenly existence, you know. So you should at least feel it in your heart that you are heavenly. Now we feel, most of us feel that we are in hell. We are in hell, right? So that proper balance is important. What you can do is repetitively practice. More you practice, you become better at the balancing act. Right? It's like cricket. More you play, you become better at it. Right? That's how it works. Unless you are too old, of course.
That's very good.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, getting older is another problem, aren't they? Yes.
Then you have to give up cricket and, you know, find some indoor sport like yoga.
Yeah. Yeah, I start more swimming. That's very grand. Thank you very much. Now, Amantha, we are right on time. I think we don't have any raised hands. So I would like to hand over to you to conclude the program. Thank you very much. And much merit, Bhante.
Thank you, Nadeep. And much merit to you. And much merit to Bhante. So we will conclude today's session. I would like to associate merits gain with the Venerable Bhante, Venerable Bhante Homagamata Mukusal Thero, for associating with the session today and providing us with a lot of guidance and insightful advice. We wish Bhante good health, long life, and also success in the path of mindfulness practices. Furthermore, I would like to thank the Chief Abbot of the Nisarana Forest Monastery, the Most Venerable Bhante Udayiregam Dhammaji Mahathera, for insightfully requesting this program to be actualized. We pass on merits and wish well for the Chief Bhante, his own practices and well-being. I would like to also mention the team of organizers behind the program who work hard to continue the sustenance of the program. So I would like to share these merits with them and wish them well in their mindfulness practices. Furthermore, I would like to thank all of you who joined through Zoom and also through the live stream over Facebook for your kind attention to the program and providing us a justification to run the program in this manner. I would like to mention that the program will continue next week at the same time, and that will be 1 p.m. in Sri Lankan time format, and hope to see you in the next session. Until that time, I wish that you will all be able to apply the principles learned in day-to-day practice over the course of 7 days, and hope to see you again in the session on next Saturday. I will end the Zoom session now, and thank you very much.